This is the Sandy's Pan Confusion.
Now, Dave, we live in a media age, don't we? And,
yes.
And presentation and performance are key.
It's everything.
As
everything,
we know.
Everything with me.
Yeah, I know. Well, I can see that. Mm. What do you make of Lady Gaga? Have you come across her?
Yeah, I know she is.
And what's that all about?
She was on Jonathan Ross with a some kind of telephone sellotape to the top of her head.
And she kept answering it, I think.
Did she?
And she did, yeah. It was, I did see that. It was a kind of hat.
Yeah.
But she has this kind of sort of flamboyant kind of theatrical dress style thing.
She's not my cup of tea, to be honest.
I don't think she can actually sing, can she?
She's not a bad singer. I just think she's completely bonkers.
I suppose she's kind of modelling herself partly on sort of Madonna or Elton John or someone like that.
Yeah, or David Bowie.
Do you think it's to distract people from the fact that she's a bit...
She's trying to combine, I think, singing with theatre and fashion and all those sort of concepts folded into one, you know, one big bank balance.
I believe her followers have a name. Are they called Little Monsters or something? Is that right?
I've never heard of that.
Which is interesting because there are a number of sort of fans that take on names related to their sort of idols.
Like who?
Like, well, Doctor Who fans, for example, I think are called Whovarians, apparently. And Star Trek fans are called Trekkers, is that right?
Well, that's interesting. They used to be called Trekkies.
Right.
Then it was widely accepted that Trekkies was a pejorative, so they changed it to Trekkers.
Obviously, we know fans of the Last of the Summer Wine series are known as the Brain Dead.
I was going to say, all just the dead.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah. After the very hard winter this year, there's lots of potholes on Britain's roads, and there's lots
I've noticed.
Debate about what to do about it, and it's costing everybody a lot of money and all sorts of them. Well, I've thought of another problem we've got, which is that we live in a celebrity-obsessed society.
We do.
Where attaining celebrity seems to have emerged as a legitimate career option for children who aren't seeking to cultivate any other kind of talent, or any type of talent at all.
You and I have certainly struggled with that in the past.
Well, it's quite a worrying development, but I just wonder if actually what we've got there is two birds and one stone, because you've got all these potholes, all these sort of worthless, talentless celebrities. Couldn't we chop up the celebrities and stuff them into potholes and solve two problems at once?
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of some of the practicalities around it.
You're worried about density, aren't you?
Yeah. And I'm worried about selection as well. How would we select which celebrities we
I'll do it. I'll do that. Yeah. If we just send me a list
right.
of everybody whose name has been mentioned in the media, say, in the last, 25 years.
So you'd have, like, I suppose currently you'd have, like, Cheryl Cole, Price, those kind of
things. Yeah, I mean, well, probably a bit lower down than that.
Katie Price. Big chested women in your case.
Well, Katie Price could fill two potholes, couldn't she?
She'd probably,
if you think about it.
You'd probably get a roundabout out of there.
Indeed.
Now, I saw in the news that there's a car that they've been trialling running it on coffee.
Hey?
They've been using coffee and coffee beans.
Coffee and milk and sugar?
No, just coffee to run a car, and hilariously called it the Carpuccino.
That's quite good.
It's not bad, is it?
I like that.
But I wondered whether it would ever catch on, and, I suppose my prime concern is what the M25 would smell like.
Would it smell like burnt coffee?
It might do, or it might be so enticing that you'd either instantly wake up, which you might be asleep, so it's a very boring road, or you might get an instant headache.
You're using the word instant there as a hilarious poon.
I hope that you noticed that, because I did actually write that. It took me a long time.
You actually wrote that, you've written down the word instant.
Yeah, it's in there.
That's very good. When you say running on coffee, you mean on the beans, or beans dissolved in water, or how's this working?
I think they're actually running it on kind of ground coffee.
As a solid?
Sort of burning it off, yeah. I couldn't quite work out how it would work. It's a bit of a strange one. I remember years ago on Blue Peter seeing a car that was powered by orange juice.
Now, I'm going to stop you at that point. And can I ask you this? When you say that you saw the other day that people are running a car on coffee, and you remember that one used to run on orange juice, do you remember these things, or was it all a dream?
Well, that's an interesting question, actually, because sometimes I remember these things, and then I wake up slightly moist in the day room.
Yes. And I think we found some holes in your theory there, haven't we?
But is it wrong, though?
Is what wrong?
Is it wrong to run a car on coffee?
No. I don't know.
Ethically, do you think?
What's the ethical problem with running a car on coffee?
Well, coffee can't be any easier to obtain than petrol and kind of oil, can it?
Well, it's part of it about the emissions. What are the emissions from burnt coffee?
Well, I bet they're delicious, aren't they? They're better than kind of petrochemical ones.
Well, does the coffee combustion process produce CO2? I think that's what we all...
I think it probably does.
What we all really want to know. I've been asking myself that question for years, if not all my life.
They did say, though, on the news that you'd need something like 3,000 espressos to do 10 miles.
I think you said you need 3,000 tonnes of coffee per mile.
Well, yeah, this is effectively the same thing.
I'm not sure that is a viable transport solution.
Oh, I don't know, there's a hope.
Well, I, for example, like to take my coffee with a bit of cream in and a bit of brown sugar.
That's not the only thing,
and what if my car is the same?
Well, quite.
Where are you going to put the cream and sugar in?
But also, we could take a two-pronged attack in terms of, you know, we could sample, we could put forward the coffee idea with the pothole idea.
Mm.
Brilliant. Everybody loves, you know, cappuccinos and celebrity, don't they, these days?
Yep.
Double whammy. I think we're onto something.
Explain that again.
Well, we can use the potholes full of celebrities.
Yeah.
People will be looking at them thinking, oh, that's great, you know,
yeah,
making use of tired old celebrities.
Yeah.
But also, what a lovely smell of coffee on my car.
I see. No, I'm with you.
Fell down a bit there, didn't it?
Talking about creating a kind of a cultural ethos, an entire society defined by their love of driving over celebrities crammed into potholes while smelling coffee.
Well, you laugh, but these are the kind of things we have to think about in the green agenda.
James, as usual, in reaction to anything you say, I'm not laughing. Confusion.
Good evening and welcome to the North Park Show. My name is Melton Drag, and with me in the studio is Gudrun Biscuit, producer and raconteur behind the recent hit song, The World Leader's Song. Good evening, Gudrun.
Hello.
Tell us, first of all, about the creative musings of the record, its purpose, and the political intrigue that doesn't explain itself.
Well, what you've got to realise is that this is a serious political statement dressed up as a fabulous rock track.
Is there room still for the political song in our society?
There is room. I've made it with this work. This is my magnum opus.
Tell us about some of the characters which you explain in the song.
Well, you'll notice most world leaders are in the song. They're mentioned from popular leaders like Robert Mugabe down to demagogue, tyrannical monsters like Gordon Brown and Alex Salmon.
The song was recorded in Halifax in a studio in the back of someone's bedroom. Can you tell us about some of the restrictions in recording the record, including how you recruited the talent and some of the problems you had around particular financial aspects?
No.
Well, thank you. Tell us about some of the talent that was involved in the recording of the record.
Well, we managed to get an old country singer called Vladimir Moss to come in and and sing the lyric for us, and he was pretty drunk for most of the song, but it didn't seem to hinder his performance at all, which I think we'll all agree is magnificent.
Gudrun Biscuit, for now, thank you. From this park bench outside of Waitrose, where I live, now let's hear the record.
When do I get my money?
There is no money. Good evening.
The world is full of leaders. Some are good and some are bleeders, and most of them are rotten to the core. When they ask for support, remember what we have taught, and vote for anarchy forevermore. Dear Barack Obama, you're the hope of all America, because you're tall and have a loud voice. Some had concerns about your looks, your early appointments were all crooks, but it's okay because you are pro-choice. Dear Gordon Brown, the correct inflection, got one eye and not won an election. That's not why we really think you smell. You wear tartan pajamas, give too much money to the farmers, and you probably can't play the bagpipes well. Dear Robert Gabriel McGarvey, you're a stain upon humanity with a crazy hit potash upon your face. You're a homophobic murderer and a serial adulterer, and your ugly wife is a greedy fat disgrace. Dear Kim Jong-il, you're demented. Your opponents wear coats cemented. While the state tells grave big lies, it's often said. You're obsessed with Elizabeth Taylor, but your health grows ever frailer. So fingers crossed it's true, you're already dead. President Sarkozy, you approve biometric profiling. You're roundly criticized by left and right. Your wife is very fit, but she has been around a bit. Although I'd still love to give her one, alright. Dear President Barroso, who actually voted for you? Your gravy train is coming to an end. So we'll increase all the taxes and ignore the account collapses and put off the referendum yet again. Dear little President Putin of the former Soviet Union, please don't go to Georgia on holiday. They don't think you own them. You ordered that polonium and you rigged up all the elections anyway. President Jintao China, give democracy a shine. Your party continue demonstrates its might. Peasants are starving by the dozen, the state puts them in the oven. So it's dissidents due for tea tonight. Dear Premier Alex Salmon, you're a xenophobic madman who obsesses about Scotchland all the time. Keep bungling Scottish affairs and tossing those K-bears and hope that no one notices the crime. Oh, the world is full of leaders, some are good and some are bleeders, and most of them are rotten to the core. When they ask me your support, just remember what we have taught and vote for anarchy forevermore.
Beautiful.
I think it's a hit.
You're listening to the Sandian Pal Confusion.
Ranko.
New from Ranko.
The ultra hardworking, semi-soluble, compact, mackerel-flavored brain cleanse. Never again will you have to put up with stubborn and embarrassing memories. Forget colleagues, names, faces, family, PIN numbers, safety information, and speech. All in one convenient tablet.
Our easy-to-digest formula has allowed our in-house scienticians to condense all the known benefits of other market-leading brain-pulverizing chemicals into one handy squash-ball-sized tablet.
Available for men, women, and cattle. The benefits speak for themselves.
I tried the new Ranko Brain Cleanse, and it was wonderful. All that jumbled information and mental static was gone. I no longer felt stressed in my work. Air traffic control seemed fun again.
I have been having a lot of problems ordering my thoughts. This had manifested itself in night sweats and early morning vomiting and murder. Even more strange were the unexplained bloodstains on my clothing. After discovering Brain Cleanse from a friend, I was able to forget completely about all of it. Thank you, Renko.
Brain Cleanse is available without prescription from petrol stations, tobacco kiosks and military surplus emporium. Order today and you will receive...
Bowel Focus, the revolutionary dietary aid that uses the pneumatic power of high-pressure boiling hot lard as endorsed by Lord Barry Sheen and the ghost of Charles Hawtrey.
So call us today without delay. Sort both ends of your life out in one easy order. Order four packs and get a free coffin lid.
And remember, the one you know...
is Ranko.
This product is safe for use by both swallows and guillemots.
In addition to our best-selling mackerel flavour, the following aromatic options are now available.
Toffee apple.
Whoa.
Tulip.
Strawberry and salt.
Octopus and bleach.
Tin.
And my favourite, sulfur.
Warning! Use of this product in confined space may cause uncontrollable urges to violate dogs.
Warning! This product must not be used in conjunction with a three-way leather mat tree lens previously offered by Ranko Corporation.
Caution! Brain Cleanse is not a substitute for weed killer terps or diesel additives.
Caution!
Very much caution.
Use of this product within the Republic of Korea may cause involuntary actions in the trouser department of Bentles.
Check press for details.
Hello and welcome to the Jack and Denny Show. I'm Jack Humphreys.
I'm Denny Denson.
This week, we look at cookeryisms and home cuisine.
We love cooking.
We certainly do. We thought it'd be good to look at all the busy things that we could do in the kitchen. More importantly, good stuff you can eat when you come home from church.
When I was a young nipper, my father used to summon me down from the billiard room, and Nanny would have made a delicious broth. I love soup. Do you love soup, Jack?
I do. It can be quite pepping.
Delicious soup. Well, Nanny used to serve a broth at home with pickles and bread and ham, and she used to serve it as a sandwich.
One of the things I like to enjoy for breakfast is a good hearty portion of tripe.
Everybody loves tripe, Jack. Keeps us pep and full of ginger.
They certainly do. It separates the boys from the older men.
Before I have my breakfast these days, it's several stiff tots of brandy, some double cream, port, and a couple of raw eggs tipped into a sock. Delicious.
Absolutely delicious. Fortifying stuff indeed. Matron used to put together something for us, which was egg, nutmeg, and the occasional piece of parsley called Angel's Fist. Absolutely stiffening in the morning.
Now, we've had a letter in from our listener, Jackie.
Oh, excellent.
And she's asked if food can ever be medicine. And of course it can.
Well, there are many medicinal qualities.
Indeed. I've got a little tip here. If you get together some gin, some ginger, some beetroot, parsnips, and a couple of those, well, those flowers off the grave, you know.
Tulips?
Tulips, them's the ones.
Yes.
Mix all of that up in a jolly big bowl, cover it in sugar, and tip that straight down your wife's baby maker. She'll be fit as a butcher's dog in no time.
Excellent stuff. For a special treat at the Conservative Club on weekends, why not make a special dish of Queen Mary's brawn? It's essentially a spicy pig's face dish. Delicious.
Decorated with pig's trotters round the edge of the plate. Lovely.
It really is simply stunning.
And don't forget, before you drive home, have a couple of stiff tots of brandy for your nerves.
Now then, Danny, some people are worried about the nutritional value of some of the things we're eating today, and worried about EC numbers.
That's right. But what you must remember is the three major food groups. Chips, pasties, sausages, and fine Yorkshire bitter.
I like to venture sometimes into international cuisine and try dishes from across the continent.
What, over the English Ocean?
Over the English Ocean and far away, down to the Himalayas.
What sort of foods do they eat down there, then? What sort of Yorkshire bitter do they drink?
Well, two of my absolute favourites are Beltu and Chicken Tickle My Sister.
Ah, yes, Beltu. Now, that's where they get fish heads, cover them in some kind of gravy, and serve it up in a Wellington boot, I believe.
Yes, or a light brogue.
With a couple of stiff tots of brandy over the top.
Absolutely delicious.
With double cream.
Well, as we leave you, I'll just remind you of Matron's famous phrase, healthy bones are happy days. That's it for this show. Goodbye to you all.
Goodbye.
Right. Are you listening now?
This is good. I am, yes. This right, I'll turn my iPod out. Hold on. Yeah, go for it. Right.
Everything else has been rubbish up until now, but this is a good bit.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
A thought experiment.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
There's a man.
Okay.
Imagine that. There's a man in a room.
Yeah.
And a woman.
No.
Don't
hold on. It's not one of them kinky experiments.
Don't
is it?
Get front note. They're perfectly above board, legitimate man and a woman in. Let's say they're married.
Okay.
You know, imagine that for
let's
me.
Let's be terribly old fashioned.
Have a bash. Yes. Just imagining a man and a woman in a room. She's over by the window.
We'll have to take some clothing off.
He's just standing by the door. And they're in a block of flats. They're on the 10th floor of a block of flats. Doesn't matter, it could be 11th floor. Doesn't
is this
matter.
About if there's no one else there, do they make a noise or
no,
something?
No, nothing like that.
Oh, right, okay.
This is just a little scenario just to get the old grey matter fizzing.
Right.
So he decides that he's going to shoot her.
Right.
As you do.
In a traditional sense, with a gun.
With a gun, yes. Right. With a gun, yes, you're not going to shoot
it's
her
not a,
with a ping pong ball.
It's not a euphemism or something.
No, okay. This is a literal. Literal right, okay. Scenario.
Right, I'm with you.
So he decides to shoot her. He fires the gun.
Yes.
She ducks because she can see him with a gun.
Yes.
Yeah. She ducks out of the way. The bullet flies across the room, obviously. She ducks out of the way. The bullet goes through the open window.
Yes.
And hits a young man who had half a second before jumped out of the window from the flat above.
Yes.
In an aim to kill himself.
Yes.
Now, are you with me?
I am.
The bullet goes through the young man flying through the air, kills him.
Yes.
Stone dead, completely dead all over.
Yes.
He then obviously falls down to the floor and is still dead.
Yes.
Completely dead. Now, has the man who fired the gun committed murder? Question A. And question B, has the youth who jumped out of the window committed suicide or has he been murdered? Two questions for you to puzzle and ponder.
I'd say, first of all, I'd say the guy that fired the bullet was intending to murder his wife.
So the intention of committing murder.
Intention was to murder his wife, but he's still responsible for the death of the man who jumped out of the window,
mm-hmm.
who, although intended to commit suicide, hadn't actually killed himself at the point at which he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd say.
Very interesting.
What does it say about me on a deeper level?
It says you're a nut. I think what we should actually do is reproduce the situation.
Okay. Why during that question and answer session there were you showing me some pictures that, to be honest, made me feel slightly sick?
I was trying to inspire some thought.
Right, because they're not appropriate, really, even for radio.
Do you think any of it is the woman's fault?
Well, she moved out of the way of the bullet.
Yeah.
But then she did that as kind of self-protection. So no, it's not really her fault.
A bit selfish, though, isn't it?
Well, maybe. But the consequence of her action is that she saved herself from a bullet.
Mm.
And the other stuff is kind of incidental. She didn't know that the guy was jumping out the window.
Imagine you were she. I mean, you already got the underwear on for it.
Yeah.
And the police came to say, what happened here?
Yeah. I'd say, not me, Gov. I don't know anything. It's a fair cop.
Would you say that your husband had just fired a shot out the window randomly, or that he tried to commit murder?
It would depend to the extent of the row, really. Mm. You know, what you thought about the relationship, whether you wanted to kind of, you know,
get
pizza or something.
I think it's reasonably safe to assume that given he just tried to murder her, things weren't going that well in the marriage.
I think you'd probably try and use it as an opportunity to shock him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe even push him out the window. I'll tell you what he could do, is bake him in a pie and eat him.
Could do that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be okay. I think that's actually legal, isn't it, on Saturdays?
Well, I tell you what, right? I'll go and stand by the window in these women's clothing and you can get your gun out.
Yeah. And give you a good shooting.
Exactly.
The Sandys and Pal Confusion.
Written and presented by James Sandy and David Powell, with the godlike input of Mr. Alan Jones.
Yes, indeed. I think that really is important. And of course, that tends to invoke tertiary experiences of
Confusion.
Bonchance, Pierre.
Le pipi.